Next month marks the 40th anniversary of the Bay of Pigs invasion, the attempt by Cuban exiles and the United States to knock Fidel Castro from power. There's already been a lot of talk surrounding this particular milestone from some of the same people involved in the invasion. In Havana last week, former CIA operatives, anti-Castro brigadistas, Cuban military officers, and El Jefe himself, Fidel Castro, met to revisit the event that staggered U.S. policy and cemented Castro's hold on power. It was a historic occasion commemorating a great military victory or a political and military nightmare, depending on who had the microphone. Our Dan Shore was in that number. He and other journalists who covered the invasion were invited to attend, and he joins us in our studio. Dan, welcome back.
Glad to be back, too.
And why a conference like this 40 years after the fact?
Well, the University of Havana had this idea, and the National Security Archives here was willing to join with them in doing it. It was to take people who are looking at each other across the barriers and look at have them talk together now and see who perceived what and who made mistakes and finding out what the other guy was thinking.
The invasion began on April 17th, but a couple days prior to that, there was an aerial assault on Cuba.
On the Sunday before, there was a bombing of Havana. There was supposed to be another bombing, and that was called off by President Kennedy, who suddenly got cold feet about whether the United States would be identified as involved. He had this rather weird idea that they could have the CIA organize an invasion and use American planes to do a bombing and all the rest, and that the world would believe that this was something that these exiles had mounted all themselves. It was kind of crazy in its whole conception, but there it was. The second bombing attack was called off at the last minute, and that may have been a decisive factor in the total defeat of this invasion of some 1,500 exiles, that they were not able to have any air cover and that therefore they were simply open to being assaulted by these people as they landed on the beach.
More than 40 years ago when Castro came to power, you interviewed him in Havana.
That's right. I was working with CBS. CBS sent me down to Havana because he was making his first open official contact with an important Soviet person. Anastas Mikoyan was visiting Havana.
Anastas Mikoyan was the deputy prime minister.
He was the deputy prime minister and also in charge of sort of foreign trade. He was the one that they used for contacts with Western countries. Mm-hmm. And this was a very important development, it seemed. And I went down there and to interview them and ask them what they had done. They talked about trade relations. They talked about diplomatic relations being open. And I said, is that all? Could we hear rumors, Mr. Castro, that you were also talking about getting arms from the Soviet Union, maybe even Soviet MiG fighters? He looked at me, spread his arms wide, and said, but that is a secret, he said. For 40 years, I've wondered what he meant by that is a secret. Presumably, I thought maybe confirming that that was true. So now, during a coffee break between sessions, I went up and renewed acquaintanceships and said, I don't know if you'll remember 41 years ago, my interviewing you with Mikoyan. Mikoyan, he said, very nice man, Mikoyan. He just went off on Mikoyan. I said, yes, but do you also remember that when I asked you about arms from the Soviets for you, you said, but that is a secret. Were you trying to confirm it to me in your way, or what? He said, no. He said, my difficulty was another one. My difficulty was that we were not sure we wanted to get Soviet arms, and that we were afraid that if it was known that we were openly getting Soviet arms, the United States would seize that as justification for a big attack on Cuba. Mm-hmm. So my problem was not to let Mikoyan know at that point that we were not sure we wanted them. And so therefore, I had to say, to cut off the conversation, I said, this is a secret. So all right, I'll take that to be true.
Looking back on it, from your experience last week, what did Cubans and Americans, and for that matter, Russians, fundamentally misunderstand about each other?
Well, we fundamentally misunderstood that just because this was a socialist revolution, that it inevitably had to lead him into the Soviet bloc. It may very well be that by refusing to believe that and acting as though he were a member of the Soviet bloc, we helped to create that fact. On his side, I can't say what he perceived that was wrong. There was, to tell you one more story, which I thought maybe the most ironic of all. Castro said that after the Cuban Missile Crisis, President Kennedy was apparently sobered by that experience, because he did indicate that he wanted to get along better with Cuba. And he sent a French journalist named Jean Daniel, sent him to Havana to go and meet with Castro and tell Castro that he was making a conciliatory speech, which he did, and that he really now wanted another course, to pursue another course with Cuba. Castro said that John Daniel was in his office telling him that. And the meeting was interrupted when somebody came in and said, President Kennedy has been shot. And what I would really now like to have happen was to have Kennedy live and see whether he really would have changed history between America and Cuba.
Dan, thanks very much.
Sure thing.
Our Dan Shore.